I hope everybody's having a great day. You can pray for me this morning. Pray that I get through this, mainly because my allergies are just horrible today. I don't know why. Partly because the church I was at in Kansas, Illinois, there basically is nothing there. You guys have trees. So maybe there's some trees I'm allergic to. I don't know, but my allergies have been horrible. So I feel like I'm drugged. Do you know how you feel that in your head and you just feel drugged? So with that said, who knows what I'm going to say this morning? I mean, it could be very interesting. I mean, you may walk out of here going, I don't know what it was, but it was funny. So we'll kind of see. But I'm excited again. This is my second week to be with you. I'm Jerry Jones, for those of you that don't know me, if you weren't able to be with us. And I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to see what God's going to do in this place. Here's the thing. I'm just going to be totally honest with you. You've been blessed with an amazing facility. Amazing space for kids, amazing space to have the community, an amazing worship area that you've redone. You've been truly blessed. And I think it saddens God's heart when we don't fill this place. So my prayer is that over these next 9 months, we're going to fill this place. We're going to fill this place with people who need Jesus Christ. Because that's why we're here, right? We're here to get the message of the gospel out, which is why, one reason why I'm starting this series today. And I'm excited to begin this brand new series. It's on one of my favorite Old Testament books. It's the book of Jonah. And I'm excited to do that. Several years ago, I attended, well, I did for several years, but I attended a seminar. It's called the Sermon of the Art. And it's just a sermon writing seminar. And I forget who the speaker was for that 2 days that we were there. But the cool thing was, at the end of it, he said, hey, I just want to give you guys a couple series that we have done at our church that just really had an impact on people's lives. And one of those he gave us was this series on Jonah. And so I took it and kind of have redone it some to fit our church. But I really love the book of Jonah because there is so much in there out of those 4 chapters that we can learn that's going to help us in our walk with Christ. So, as we begin, I just want to give you 2 quick observations. Now, I don't know if the word got out that I was preaching on the book of Jonah, or I know there was a text that went out, I think, yesterday, but how many of you, and let's be honest, right? How many of you, when you heard, if you did, that I was preaching on the book of Jonah, or when I said it just a few minutes ago, how many of you went straight to the fish? Come on, let's be honest. Yeah, right? I mean, that's usually what we do, right? We go straight to the fish. But here's the thing. If we're not careful, the fish can get all the attention when the message is really about God and his relationship with Jonah and his relationship with us. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, it's not about the fish. Okay? It's not about the fish. Okay, good. Now, there's a second observation I want to give you is this. As you know, the book of Jonah is located in the Old Testament. And for some reason, over the years, the Old Testament has gotten a bad rap on its relevancy and its ability to engage the reader. But look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. This is the Message Bible, and I love how it phrases it. Look what it says. These are all warning markers, danger in our history books, written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. Our positions in the story are parallel. They at the beginning, we at the end. And we are just as capable of messing it up as they were. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You are not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. In other words, the Old Testament is there as a guide, as an example, and as a warning to hopefully keep us from making a lot of the same mistakes that the people of Israel did, and to help us to keep our focus on Jesus. You see, our condition as human beings, it's not new, right? We are all broken people who need a Savior. Do you believe that? We are all broken people who need a Savior. Now, let me tell you, that hasn't changed since Genesis chapter 3. In fact, as you go through the Bible, what you discover is this. The Bible is full of dysfunctional people. I mean, there's not a functional person in the Bible except Jesus. I mean, just about everybody was dysfunctional. They did some pretty amazing things, but it was only because God used them in spite of their dysfunction. And I don't know about you, but that gives me a little bit of encouragement, right? Because I'm also pretty dysfunctional at times. And so I'm glad God uses dysfunctional people. And what we are about to discover about Jonah, even though he was a prophet, he was just as dysfunctional as the rest of them. I mean, he's a prophet of God who gets a message from God, but because he doesn't like the message, he rebels, he disobeys, he runs, and he tries to hide from God. He becomes a runaway prophet who learns just how foolish it is to run from God. So, with that said, let's pray, and then we're going to dive in to the book. Father, thank you so much for this day. God, thank you so much for all you do. God, right now, you've got so much to teach us over this next 5 weeks. I pray today that it will all begin. It will begin with open hearts. It will begin with open minds. Father, I pray for me. I pray that my words will not be my words. I pray that my words will be your words. And because they're yours, they will come across with power. And your Holy Spirit will be able to move and work in our lives. So God, we thank you, we praise you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. You know, one thing is that I'll say a lot, probably almost every week, but that is this. If you're visiting with us today, you're not here by accident. There's not a person here that's here by accident. You're here because God wanted you here. And if God wanted you here, then guess what? He's got something for you. It may not necessarily be something that was in the message. It may have been a song that was sung, or it may have been a word that was spoken into you by somebody you met or somebody that you know. But God's got something for you today. So let's begin. You know, as I was preparing these messages on Jonah, I came across some really interesting facts that help us to understand what's going on. For starters, this is the only book of prophecy where the book centers on the prophet and not the prophecy itself. Second of all, it's the only book of prophecy where the prophet refuses to obey God. In fact, he actually runs in the opposite direction that God tells him to go. Also, Jonah was one of the only Old Testament prophets who was sent to preach to a nation other than Israel. I just thought those were interesting facts as we think about the book of Jonah. So with that said, open your Bibles, open them up to the book of Jonah, or you'll be able to follow along on the screen. But let me encourage you to bring the Word of God. Bring your Bible, open them up so that we can share in this together. I want to begin reading in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." Now we got to understand, this wasn't the first time God had spoken to Jonah. Jonah knew his voice. But this was definitely a very unpredictable and uncomfortable call to take. You see, the problem was this message was not the message that he expected or wanted to hear. I mean, asking Jonah to go to Nineveh was a really big ask. It's in the same vein as God asking Abraham to kill the son that God had promised him. In the same vein as asking Moses to go back to Egypt where he was wanted for murder and then to tell the most powerful man on the planet just to let his people go. Or in the same vein as Ananias to go to Saul, who was killing Christians, and pray over him so that he could become a Christian. Again, I don't think Jonah woke up that morning expecting this to happen, but it did. And it would take Jonah out of his comfort zone, and it would stretch it to the breaking point. Let me illustrate this way. Let's say that next week I announce this. I announce that in June we're going to take a mission trip to Afghanistan. And I say that while we are there in Afghanistan, we're going to walk around the city and we're just going to give them this message. You guys are sinners, you follow the wrong God, and if you don't change, God's going to wipe you out. Now, I also tell you that there's an 80 to 90% chance that you will be captured and then beheaded because of your message. How many's going to sign up? Right? How many's going to sign up? Probably none of us, right? That's exactly, in some ways, where Jonah was. So look at starting in verses 2 and 3. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. So what was Jonah's response? Well, his response was to get it as far away from Nineveh as he possibly could. And so he ran. There was no pause. There was no complaining. There was no questions. There was no debate. Jonah just ran. And here's the interesting thing about this. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but God just let him go. I mean, God just let him go. God watched as Jonah ran. And where did he go? Well, he went down to Joppa on Israel's coast, about 35 miles from Samaria and about the same distance from Jerusalem. He paid his fare. He boarded a ship bound for Tarshish in southern Spain, about 3,500 miles from Nineveh. It was the farthest known geographical point in that day. Look at the map. This will kind of give you an idea. So Nineveh is this way. Tarshish is this way. There's about 3,500 miles, 3,000 miles in between. And Jonah goes as far away as he possibly can to get away from God's call and to get away from God's presence. Now, this is free of charge, okay? You'll hear me say that a lot, but this is free of charge. Disobedience always comes with a price. I want you to understand that. Disobedience to God's call always comes with a price. I want you to see if you caught this. Did you catch the phrase, so he paid the fare? He paid the fare. I believe that it's in there because God wants us to know that anytime we run from him, there will be a price that has to be paid. There's always a price for disobedience. Paul wrote this, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Jonah's story will show us that this side trip of his was way more expensive than he could ever imagine. And let me tell you, that's always the way it is when it comes to sin and disobedience. Let me tell you, over the last 45 years of full-time ministry, I've seen instant after instance of people who are paying the price and suffering the consequences for their life of sin and their disobedience to the message of God. I mean, I know of husbands and I know of wives who have left their families trying to find something that they think they don't have. And so they have an affair with this person or this person, and their families suffer, and they eventually suffer as well. I've known people who have chosen drugs or alcohol over God, and the list can go on and on. Here's the thing. When we are blatantly disobedient to God's will for our lives, the price we pay will always be greater than what we could ever imagine. And I would dare say that in a crowd like this, there are some of you sitting in here today who understand this because you're still paying the price for your disobedience. You're still suffering the consequences of sin. So the question that comes into my mind is this. What is Jonah really running from? I mean, what's he really running from? Now, I like to view this from two perspectives. There's a lower story and an upper story. The lower story is the one Jonah is writing. It's the one we write about ourselves. It's from our perspective, the way we think things ought to be. But then there's an upper story. The upper story is the one God is writing. It's from God's perspective. He's writing it because he knows how he created us and what he wants us to be. So in Jonah's lower story, as he writes what he thinks is best for him, he's running from the city and the Assyrian people of Nineveh. And I think there's several reasons for this. For one, Jonah hated the Assyrians. Okay? He hated them. They had attacked his people before and they would attack them again. But here's the thing. He had no trouble overlooking his own disobedience and sin, but he doesn't want to see them rescued from theirs. I want you to let that sink in for a moment, right? Jonah had no trouble overlooking his disobedience and his sin, his running, but he doesn't want them to be saved. He doesn't want them to be rescued. I mean, he hated them. He hated them. Here's the thing. I love what Tim Keller wrote. He said, before Jonah can confront the idolatry of the Ninevites, he must first confront the idolatry in his own heart. Let me read that again because I stuttered through that. Before Jonah can confront the idolatry of the Ninevites, he first must confront the idolatry in his own heart. In other words, in Jonah's mind, he's not beyond God's love, grace, and mercy. But they were in his mind. And so he's got to confront some things in his own life. Now let's bring this closer to home, because there may be some of us today who know exactly what I'm talking about. Because there are people, we all have them, we all have people that we just don't like. We all have people that we think, man, their sin, God's never going to forgive that. They're just too far gone. I mean, God just needs to put these people on a slow boat to China. I mean, that's what we think, right? Because in my mind, that would be better because I just don't want to deal with these people. I would rather overlook my sin, but I want God to wipe them out. And sometimes that's how we think. But he not only hated them, but he also was afraid of them. The Jewish writer Chaim Lewis said this about Nineveh. I like this. He said, the Assyrians were the Nazi stormtroopers of the ancient world. They were a pitiless and power-crazed foe. They showed no mercy in their fury for conquest. For Jonah, Nineveh stood as a symbol of the evil incarnate. I mean, he was afraid of these people. I mean, the Assyrians were famous for brutal and violent attacks on people and on cities. They would rip off the lips and tear out the tongues of their victims. They would dismember and skin their prisoners alive. And that was just some of the milder things. Can you see why Jonah might be afraid of these people? I mean, wouldn't you? He was afraid of what they could do to him. But here's the thing. As I thought about this, and I never had thought about this before, but there's another part of fear that's not so obvious. And it's also very hard to admit in our own lives. And it's this. It's the fear of success. Think about that. It's the fear of success. Here's what I mean by that. Jonah knows that if his message somehow succeeds and the people of Nineveh repent, guess what? God's going to give them grace, he's going to give them mercy, and he's going to forgive them if they repent. And Jonah does not want that to happen. And so he's afraid of success. Because if he succeeds, he doesn't get what he wants. He wants them wiped out. Let me ask you, have you ever experienced that part of fear? The fear of success. Are there people that you know you should go to right now, but you're afraid if you do, somehow they may change, and you really don't want to see them changed? You would rather see them sent to hell sooner than later. Are there people that you're afraid that if you go to, they just may come to God? And so you have the same fear as Jonah, that fear of success. But there's one more possible motivation that Jonah may have wrestled with. In fact, Scott kind of talked about this in his communion meditation, and it's this. He would have to leave his comfort zone. He would have to leave his comfort zone. You have to understand that in some ways Jonah had it made. He was a prophet in what could be considered a golden age in the northern kingdom. Under Jeroboam II, even though the nation itself was spiritually bankrupt, Israel did see a large resurgence of power and prosperity, and Jonah played a huge role in its recovery. But now God is asking him to leave his comfort zone, to leave that which is comfortable. I mean, I can imagine Jonah walking down the streets and people going, "Hey, man, there's Jonah. You the man, Jonah, you the man. You said it was going to happen, and now it happened, and we have all this money coming in. You the man." And he was comfortable because it was his comfort zone. So let me ask you, has God ever called you out of your comfort zone? I think the reason why so many of us don't go, don't share, don't love on people is because it takes us out of our comfort zone. And so when we're at work, we stay with that one little group that we're with all the time. And it's hard to move across to go talk to somebody we may not know that it may be uncomfortable to go to. Or kids, those of you that are in middle school or junior high school, you know you have your same little clique that you go to school with, sit with every day. But do you ever just get out of that comfort zone to go and talk with somebody who just may need loved on? You see, it's hard sometimes for us to get out of that which is comfortable. And yet that's what God has called us to do, to get out of our comfort zones so that we can answer his call. Here's what I've discovered over the years. When comfort becomes your driving force, God will call you into something that's just going to stretch your comfort zone. I mean, you just may as well be prepared for it. When comfort becomes your driving force, God's going to call you in something that's going to stretch you. Now, let me be totally honest with you. You'll never be truly happy and fulfilled in your walk with Jesus as long as your comfort is more important than God's call. Did you get it? You're never going to really, truly be happy in your walk with Jesus. You never truly are going to be fulfilled in your walk with Jesus as long as your comfort is more important than his call in your life. So for the next few moments, as we think about Jonah's upper story, because that was the part of Jonah that was in his lower story, the part he was writing, the part he saw, but in his upper story, the one God is writing, Jonah's running from more than just a city of Nineveh, the people, and his fear. First of all, he's running from God's call in his life. God said, "Arise and go to Nineveh." Those words, "arise and go," are meant to bring about an immediate response in Jonah's life. In other words, get up and go now. And guess what? Jonah does get up and go. But he goes in the opposite direction. But the second thing is this. He was not only running from God's call, but he was running from God's presence. He was running from the presence of God. I don't know if you've noticed it, but twice in verse 3, we see that Jonah tries to flee from the presence of the Lord. He tries to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now, as a prophet of God, Jonah knew that you can't escape the presence of God. I mean, he knew that. Look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 139. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Jonah knew you can't outrun God. He knew that. But he tries to run as far as he can anyway from God's presence. So let me ask you, would you have gone to Nineveh knowing what Jonah knew? Would you? I mean, let's just be honest. Knowing what Jonah knew about the people and the city, would you have gone if God had called you? Would you? I think probably most of us, we would have just bypassed the boat and swam to Tarshish. And so as we think about these first three verses, how can we apply these to our lives today? Well, let me ask you, where's your Tarshish? Where is it? Where's your Tarshish? In other words, where's that place you're running to? And where's your Nineveh? Where is it? That place you're running from. Where's it at? Let's look at Tarshish for a moment. You see, even though it was a literal historical place, it really represents something a lot bigger. You see, your Tarshish is anything you run to get away from God's call on your life, to get away from God's presence in your life. That is your Tarshish. And so for some, they run to a bottle. For some, they run to pills. Some, they run to a needle. For some, they run to a hotel room where they're meeting somebody to have that affair. Where's your Tarshish? What are you running to? Rabbi Shelton Blake put it this way. He said, what is Tarshish? It is anywhere but the right place. It is the opposite direction, the direction a person takes when he turns his back on his destiny. It's the excuse we give our rationalizations. Here's the thing. Anytime you find yourself running from God, whether it's out of fear of what he's asking you to do, his call on your life, or because you're not ready or willing to leave your comfort zone, guess what? It will always send you running in the opposite direction towards your Tarshish every time. And here's what we have to understand. The more we run, the more complacent we get, and the better we get at justifying our disobedience. So again, what's your Tarshish? What are you running to? But more importantly, what's your Nineveh? What's your Nineveh? What are you running from today? What are you running from? I mean, like Jonah, what we forget is that we can't outrun God, ever. We can't outrun God. To quote the late, great blues singers, and I love blues, the late, great blues singers, Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee, look what they said. You can't hide. There's no need of trying. You can't hide because you don't know how. God's got your number. He knows where you're living. You can't outrun God. He knows where you're at all the time. So where is your Nineveh? Again, it may not necessarily be the worst place you can imagine going, but it is the place that God has asked you to go. But you don't want to. Or let's be more specific. Maybe your Nineveh isn't a place, because after all, for Jonah, Nineveh was the city, but it was the people that he had to give the message to. And so maybe your Nineveh isn't a place either. Maybe it's a person. So let me ask you, who is God calling you to love on today? Who's God calling you to love on? Who is God calling you to show grace and mercy to? Is it the lady whose dog poos in your yard and she never picks it up? I mean, is it the neighbor who plays his or her music too loud? Is it the couple whose kids run around the neighborhood like they're wild beasts? Is it the gay guy or girl who lives next door? Is it the person who hurt you, divorced you, backstabbed you? Is it the coworker who treats you like dirt at work? Who is God calling you to love on? Who's your Nineveh? Who are you running from? You see, these are the people we should love, but instead, we can be a lot like Jonah, and so we love who we choose to love. You see, through Jonah, God wants us to understand that we can't limit our love to a select few while excluding others from that same love. So who do you love? Who are you loving on in this community? Let me tell you, outside these walls are people who need to hear the message of Jesus. And for some of them, you'll never love on them because they're not your people. They're not in your social class. They're not who you like to hang with. And God is saying, but they are my people. And I love them. And you should as well. So let's take a moment to reflect. Here's the thing. God's call on your life may not be to a place as dangerous as Nineveh, but it's a call all the same. So if you could honestly open your heart to God and say to him, God, I don't know exactly what you have for me. God, I don't know exactly what you're asking me to do. I don't know exactly what you're calling me to do. But God, I want you to know I'm listening. I'm listening. And I want to hear. And not only do I want to hear, but I want to answer. So what's God calling you to do today? What's he calling you to do? Is he calling you to repent? And to change your behavior, but instead you continue to live the way you want? I mean, after all, you know what's best for you, right? That's what we say, anyway. For some of you today, maybe somebody in here or up there, you know you need to repent. You've been running way too long from God. Or maybe his call is for you to be more public with your faith. He just wants you to be more public. He wants people that are around you to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Let me tell you, you don't have to hit them over the head with a 50-pound family Bible. You don't have to stand on the corner and yell out, "Repent, you sinner." You know what people want? You know what they want to hear? They want to hear what the difference is now in your life since Jesus came in. That's what they want to know. They just want to know what Jesus has done in your life. And so is God calling you right now to be more public with your faith? You know, the best way to grow this church is for each and every person sitting in here today to be more public with your faith. And guess what? We wouldn't be able to seat the people that would be coming to this church if we just be more public and live out what we say we believe. Is God calling you to forgive that person who has hurt you, but instead you would rather hold a grudge and pray that God sends them to hell sooner than later. Is God calling you to forgive? Is there people in this room right now that you know you need to get up and go to them and say, I just want you to forgive me. I need your forgiveness today. I want to challenge you before this day is over. If there are people that you need to ask forgiveness of, you go. You go to them. Because that's what God wants for you. Is God calling you to quietness and prayer? Maybe God's saying, I need you to be more in my word. I need you to be more in prayer. I love it that we have a Thursday afternoon prayer group. Let me tell you, we're going to extend that because I want to also have a prayer group on Sunday mornings. And we'll talk more about that later. But is God calling you to quietness and prayer, but instead you just busy yourself with life? Maybe you're a workaholic, and it's easier to work than it is to pray. It's easier to work than it is to get into the Word of God. Is God calling you into a relationship with Him through Jesus, but instead you're convinced that you have plenty of time? That what's the hurry? I'll do it next week or next week or next month or next year, and those times never come. And you just continue to put it off. Is God calling some of you today to just surrender your life and give it to Jesus Christ so that you can be baptized into His family, so that you can watch the sin that's in your life be washed away and buried in the watery grave of baptism? We baptized this last church I was at. I'm so thankful for this. But it's a smaller church. When I went there, it's about 55, 60 people. We grew to just under 100 in a town of 650, and we had 14 baptisms. We ought to double that here. But we had one young girl. She was 19 or 20, and we baptized her, and her dad who baptized her, they were screen printers, so they did t-shirts and sweat, that kind of stuff. And he had made a shirt for her, which he's making me one because I wanted it. And on the back it says, I left it in the water. I love that. I just left it in the water. Are some of you today, is there anybody in here that knows you need to leave it in the water so you can get right with your God? Is He calling you into relationship? So again, what are you running from today? What are you running from? Truth is, it's time to stop running. It's time to stop running. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. Our worship team is coming while I pray. And as we sing, I'm going to be right here. But I want to encourage you today. If God's calling you, if there's something He's calling in your life, don't just sit there. I want to encourage you to get up, have the courage to come and sit so that we can pray for you and encourage you. If there is somebody that needs Jesus, man, you come. We'll talk with you and encourage you and help you find Jesus today. Whatever you need, I want to encourage you to come. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for all you've done. God, we can learn a lot from Jonah. Because even though he was a prophet of God, he still ran from you. He still ran from your call. But his story can give us hope. And so, Father, I pray for those in here today who may need to come. Maybe they just need to come for prayer. But, God, they still need to come. It's in your name that we pray all things.